Nothing is quite as exciting as a person who is in love with and on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, nothing is quite as boring and dull as cold, formal, ritualistic religion. I heard about a Baptist church down in Beaver Dam, Kentucky. Actually, a suburb of Beaver Dam, Kentucky, out in the country. And the minister of this church, the pastor, decided that he's going to go visit his brother who lived in Philadelphia. So he made the trip. And when he got there, he went with his brother to this very formal church. It was an Episcopalian church. And the service was very, very different from the little Baptist church out in the country in Beaver Dam, Kentucky, to say the least. And so he watched this service, and he was just amazed. And all the men who came in, they were called deacons or acolytes. They came in, they all had robes on, and they were all carrying an incense pot. And the minister, he had some kind of a staff. And he was up front, and he had a long robe on, reached clear down the floor, and various scarves around his neck. And he chanted to these men who'd come in, come down the center aisle. And whenever he would chant something, they'd chant it back, and they'd just add amen. He'd say something like, "Oh, praise the Lord and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And then they'd say the same thing right back. "Oh, praise the Lord and the Father and the Holy Ghost. Amen." So when he got back to Beaver Dam, Kentucky, he got all of his men together and he said, "Men, I've seen some mighty fine religion." He said, "We're going to have some of it right here in Beaver Dam, Kentucky." And they said, "Well, what are you going to do? And what are we supposed to do?" And he said, "Well, do any of you have a robe?" He said, we need for you guys to wear robes." And a couple of them said, "Well, we got no bathrobe at home. We hardly ever wear." But he said, "Well, that's all right. Just wear your bathrobe." And he said, and he said, "You need an incense pot too." And he said, we don't know what an incense pot is." And he said, "Well, it's really just a milk bucket with a candle stuck down in the bottom of it." So he lined them all up, got them all ready to go, told them what to do. Said, "You just repeat after me and add amen. Whatever I say, you repeat it and you add amen. You come down the center aisle." Well, the word spread and the church was packed. And they were all lined up back in the back. And the minister got up there and he had his bathrobe on. And he said, "Oh, praise the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And these guys, they came in the back and they said, "Oh, praise the Lord, the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen." And then he noticed that they did not have their incense pots. And this upset him. I mean, he was very upset, he thought. But he didn't want to break the spell that he had set. So he said, "And what have you done with your incense pots?" And they, realizing the solemnity of this hour, they responded, "We throwed them out the windows when their bottoms got hot." I don't know if that's true or not. I heard that story years ago, and it's so good. I hate to pass it up. I hate to think that it may not be true. Well, again, for us, for you, Christian, there's nothing as exciting as a person in love and on fire for Jesus Christ, and nothing as dull and cold as ritualistic, formalistic, creedistic Christianity. New Testament Christianity, if it is truly lived the way it's supposed to be lived, like the Apostle Paul lived it, is something that's so wonderful, so exciting, that it's really almost impossible to put into words. So there's a text in Philippians. Most of you are familiar with this text. Let me just read it for you very quickly. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. The Apostle Paul is writing this from prison. He is in prison. Listen to what he says here. If I can find verse 21, here it is. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage. So now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now here's verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow and abound on account of me. So does Paul practice what he preaches? Does his words match with his actions? Well, I want you to go with me. I want you to follow Christ. I want you to follow Paul. In fact, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's good advice. Could we say that to somebody? Could we say, follow me as I follow Christ? I hope we can. But it's important to believe that Paul wanted people to follow him as he followed Christ. So let's do that. Let's follow Paul and see how he responds to all of this. Let's go, first of all, to Acts chapter 14 and to a place, a town, a city. It's when, like ancient, it's in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And in this place, Paul is going, and he's going to a place called Lystra, in Acts 14, 19. This is where this whole story begins. I'm not going to read all of the scripture, but this is where this comes from, Acts 14, 19. So Paul is traveling. They'd been kicked out of another city. They had been in Iconium, and there were enemies of Paul, both Jews and Greeks who were enemies of his, and they'd followed him, and they had to leave town. They had to escape. They escaped with their lives. And so then they went to this place called Lystra, and then on to another place called Derbe. Well, when they got to Lystra, there was a man who was crippled from birth, and he'd never walked. And he listened to Paul as Paul was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, and Paul said, stand up on your feet and be healed. I see that you have faith to be healed, he said. And at that, the man jumped up, and he began to walk. And when the crowd saw this, this is an amazing story, when the crowd saw this, they started bowing down to Paul and Silas, and they said, oh my, you must be the gods that have come down from above. And they were planning to make offerings and sacrifices to them. And Paul and Silas said, no, we're men just like you. Don't do that. So this was going pretty well. And then some other guys came along, some other enemies of the cross, enemies of Christ, enemies of Paul and Silas. Some of them were called Judaizers. They were people that believed that it was okay for a Gentile to become a Christian as long as he also was Jewish. He observes a lot of the Jewish traditions and customs. So the fickle crowd turned. I mean, here they'd been praising Paul and Silas. They were going to make sacrifices and offerings to them, to their gods, as if they were gods, and Paul dissuaded them from doing that. But then these enemies came, and they turned the whole thing. This was a fickle crowd, to say the least. And so they stoned Paul, and they thought he was dead. He went out, they took him outside the city, and they stoned him. They were like stoning him to death. They thought he was actually dead, but he wasn't dead. I can see him laying there. This is in the Greek. You have to dig this out. I can see him laying there in the dirt and the dust, and he opens one eye, and his companions there, they're wringing their hands. Oh my, what are we going to do? Paul is dead. And then he opens his other eye and he says, What are you guys doing anyway? And I can hear them stammering and stuttering. We were planning your funeral. My funeral? I'm not dead. And he gets up and he starts back into town. I thought, well, he's lost his mind. These big rocks have affected his brain. He's in trouble. And they said, where do you think you're going? He said, well, I've got to go back. I know why he's going to go back. He had to finish his sermon. You know, and you work on a sermon all week, you want to finish that sermon. And they were trying to stop him. So maybe Paul is thinking, there's two possibilities here. Possibility number one, I am going to die. I'm being stoned. And a lot of people did die. A lot of people were stoned to death. Be a pretty horrible way to be killed, wouldn't it? And possibility number one, if I'm stoned to death, I'll be dead. I'll die. That's logic, duh. If I die, I'll get to go and be with Jesus. I'll get to go and be with Him, the one I've been preaching about, the one I've been living for, the one I'm willing to die for. But if I don't die, I'll get to go on preaching Jesus. I'll get to go on to other places like Derby, which was next, and preach the gospel. So either way, I win. That's what Paul was saying. Either way, I win. Well, there's another place here. This is an interesting place, Philippi. Philippi is found in, the whole story is found in just a couple of chapters later in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas had driven out the spirit of a young lady who was a fortune teller, and she was making a lot of money for the businessmen in that town. And they didn't like it when Paul drove that spirit, that fortune-telling spirit, out of that young woman. She kept following him around, and Paul got annoyed, and he said, go out of her, cast that spirit out of her. Well, the people were very upset, so they arrested them. They put them in jail. They manacled their feet to the floor in chains. And they're in big trouble. They've been arrested, and they're in a foreign place. So what do they do? Well, about midnight, Paul and Silas start singing. I don't know what they were singing. Maybe they were singing, amen, 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 brother. I don't know what they were singing, but their singing was so bad there was a great earthquake. And the place shook, and their bonds, their stocks, chains came loose. The doors of their cells were opened. And the jailer, who was charged, you know, with his own life in guarding these guys, this jailer was about to take his own life. And Paul said, "Do yourself no harm, for we're all here. We're all safe. You don't need to do anything to yourself." And Paul preached the gospel to them. And Mr. Jailer and Mrs. Jailer, all the little jailbirds, were baptized that same hour of the night. I mean, it happened so very fast. Now, Paul could have been thinking, well, there's two possibilities here. Number one, I'll rot and die in this jail. They'll execute me or whatever, but if I die, that'll be it. But I'll get to go to heaven. I'll get to go and be with Jesus. I've been preaching Him. I just talked to Him, you know, all the way here from Jerusalem. I've been preaching Jesus everywhere, and if I die, I'll get to go be with Him. But if I don't die, I'll get to go on to other places. I'll get to lead other families, other people to Christ as I go on and preach the gospel. So either way, I win. Either way, I win. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 26. And this is King Agrippa. He is charged. Paul is charged with treason to Rome. And of course, he's totally innocent of this, but he's got people following him around, bringing these charges against him. And so Paul is on trial, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. But he's probably thinking, You know, there's two possibilities here. Possibility number one, I'll be beheaded. And if I'm beheaded, I'll be dead. He was a real good thinker. If they kill me, if they chop my head off, that'll be the end of me. But if they do, I'll get to go and be with Jesus. I've been preaching him and teaching about him every place I go, and I'll get to go be with him. And that's the best thing that can happen. But if I live, and if they ship me off to Rome, where they were sending me in the first place, for trial before Caesar, if I have to go there, I'll just preach Jesus all the way there. And the little book of Philippians, that I just read this text, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you notice the very first verses of that little book and the last verses, Paul's in prison in Rome, but in the very last verses of that little book, it says, send greetings to those of Caesar's household. He's chained to a Roman soldier, and people from Caesar's household are coming there, and he's winning them to Christ. They're his brothers and sisters now in Christ. So he's knocking them off for the Lord in the palace of the Caesar. And so he's doing a great work even in prison, even in jail. So he's probably saying, well, you know, again, possibility number one, if I'm beheaded, I'll get to go and be with Jesus. If not, I'll keep preaching him. I'll preach to those on the ship with me, and he did. I'll preach to those along the way, along the Appian Way, from landing there in the boot heel of Italy, all the way to Rome on the Appian Way. If I live, I'll keep teaching, I'll keep preaching Jesus. Because, everybody say this with me, either way I win. Say it again. Either way I win. You can't defeat a Christian. The best is yet to come, no matter what this life throws at us, no matter how difficult it is, how painful it is. The best thing is that we can die and go and be with Jesus. But if not, we can live for him. We can tell others about him. You know, if Paul could do that, surely we could do that. Surely we could at least invite other people to come and worship with us and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, hard to defeat a guy like that, isn't it? I think Paul practiced what he preached. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Remember, I gave you a memory verse last week from Galatians 2. I don't know if any of you memorized it, but Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, yet not I live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life I live and the body I live by faith in the Son of God who gave his life for me. So I hope you can say that as Paul said it to the Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. Well, there's one more place. It's on board a ship. Acts 27. Paul is on his way to Rome with a boatload of prisoners. There are guards there. A terrible storm comes up. This storm is so bad that they did not see the light of the sun or the moon and stars for like 2 weeks. They hadn't been eating anything. And it was really scary. They threw all of the cargo over. Cargo, of course, was what made money for the owner of the ship. They put ropes underneath the ship, passed them underneath that ship so it would kind of hold everything together. They were at their wits' end. I mean, they believed they were going to die. But a messenger, a heavenly messenger, an angel appeared to Paul. And you know what Paul did? He stood up on board that ship's deck, and he said, sirs, I believe in God. Have faith, for I believe in God. And he said, there will be no loss of life, but we're going to lose the ship. I would say, wait a minute, explain that. How are we going to lose this ship and no loss of life? Well, the ship did run aground on a sandbar, a reef of some sort, on the island of Malta in the Mediterranean Sea. And they were all able to get off of that ship, and they were all able to hang on to planks if they couldn't swim and get to the shore. And Paul went into the island and then finally went on to Rome, where he stood trial and where tradition says he was beheaded at the Pyramid of Cestus. So Paul could be thinking, as he stands on the board of that ship, two possibilities. Possibility number one, I'll drown. If I drown, I'll be dead. Great logic. Or he could have said, and if I am dead, if I drown, I'll get to go and be with Jesus. That's what I've been living for. That's what I've been doing. Possibility number two, I'll get to continue to preach Jesus. I'll get to Rome. I may be chained to a Roman soldier. You'd have to think that Roman soldier would become a Christian just for relief, wouldn't you? You know, he'd have ulcer of the year. How would you like to be chained to the world's greatest soul winner? That's what this guy was. He was chained to the world's greatest soul, and I'm sure he became a Christian. Maybe he was a part of Caesar's household. So you can't defeat a Christian. Paul could have been thinking on board that ship, on that ship's deck, and storm-tossed wind and waves and the bouncing of that ship. He could have been thinking, boy, this is a tough deal, but no matter what happens, either way, I win. You know, that's kind of what Shakespeare's Prince of Denmark was saying, only he was saying it backwards. He was saying, to be or not to be? That's the question. That's just the opposite of what Paul was saying. The Prince of Denmark was saying, I don't know whether it's worse to live or to die. And a lot of people are that hopeless. They don't know which is worse, to live or to die. Paul was just the opposite. He didn't know whether it was best to live or to die. If Paul could live for him, surely we can live for him. If Paul could share the good news with others, surely we could do that. If Paul could invite people to know Christ, surely we can do that. You can't be defeated. Either way, we win. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this picture of the Apostle Paul and his journey, his life, the events that happened in Lystra, where he was nearly stoned to death, in Philippi, where he was imprisoned, before King Agrippa, where there was a threat of losing his head, and certainly on that shipwreck where the storm could cost them all their lives. But Paul knew that the best was yet to come. Either way, live or die. For me to live is Christ. To die is better. To die is gain. I pray if there's anybody here today outside of Christ, that this will be a day when they decide to follow Jesus, to live for Him, to be bold for Him, to share the good news, knowing that no matter what happens, if people ridicule us, if they make fun of us, or if they come to know you, it's even better. So, Father, bless now this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing this invitation? The Savior is waiting.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time, He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again. To see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in.
Well, thank you all for being here. Keep Susan McAdams in your prayers. She's been having some health issues, and their daughter-in-law, Hannah, starts chemo tomorrow for 8 weeks. She's just had a real tough time. That's an understatement this last couple of years, battling cancer. So keep Susan and Hannah McAdams in your prayer. Keep Sonny. Sonny plays the guitar up here for us, and he had eye surgery and has all kinds of complications. He's going to be out of whack here for several more weeks,
4 to 6 weeks.
He's had to lay face down, and keep Sonny in your prayers. He's a fine young man. All right, let's be dismissed. Fred, you want to say a benediction prayer for us back there in the back?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, that we can come into your house and hear your word, Lord, that you give us through Brother Shannon. We do appreciate him, Lord. We just ask you to be with all the ones that's on the prayer list, all the sick, and you know all their needs. And we just ask you to be with all them, and thank you for bringing the ones back that's been ill. We just ask you to be with everyone this week and give them a blessed week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.